Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. We got so little time before the Century Tournament of Champions, so a little drenching of the plantation course seems right in order. Of course, we're going to get a little drenching this weekend. Partly sunny today, scattered showers on Kauai, so it's coming from Kauai in a way. High at about 86 degrees today. The winds are variable to 15, and all those southerly winds have been sucking up the moisture, and we're going to have some rain, isolated showers today, so it's going to start on Kauai with a thunder storms after midnight, locally heavy rainfall possible, and then on Oahu and Maui, we're going to feel it as well, with those showers likely and isolated thunderstorms during the day, scattered showers at night, and the winds staying variable, 5 to 15 miles per hour, the high about 84 degrees, and it is going to be muggy. So enjoy a great round of golf today. Makalei has a 9-10 and a 10-24. Poipu Bay, a 9:30, 9:50, 11 o'clock. Let's see, Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:36, a 9:40, and a 10:30. Bayview, an 8:48, and a 10:10. And Makaha East, 11:18, and 11:54. Wailea on the Gold Course, there's an 11:10. There's a 1:40 on the Emerald Course. After that, they're pretty open. And on the Blue, there's a 12:30 and a 1 o'clock. Maui Nui at noon, you could play around, and it's pretty open after that as well. Got a great show for you. Yes, indeed. We're going to be talking with Ron Syrak, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism recipient, 2020 Class of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Hall of Fame. Coming in, of course, this is the week before the final CME Group Tour Championship in Florida. They're playing the Pelican today, and it's an interesting ball game. Right now, I'm watching two people. We'll be talking about the two people at the top of the leaderboard. I was surprised. We're going to have Steve Greiner, Executive Director, Links to Freedom, Steve Greiner, PGA. Bruce Gerlander, also PGA, General Manager of the Walt Disney World Golf, operated by Arnold Palmer Golf Management. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And Bob Herrig's in with us, Senior Writer, Indiana Evans Scholar alum, and of course, we're covering everything. And boy, I mean, everything is going on in golf. We'll be back with Bob after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24-7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN. He, of course, went to Indiana University on an Evans Scholarship, Golf Writers Association of America member, and we'll be talking about what an Evans Scholarship is. But first, welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hey, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. Some people would say, well, it's about time. I was reading your story about Rory McIlroy. He's going back to his old coach. Tell us about it.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, Michael Bannon, who is actually the guy he started working with when he was like 8 years old in Northern Ireland. And I don't know that he ever really completely left him. It was just more a matter of... you know, during the worst of the pandemic, Bannon couldn't travel, or it was problematic for him to travel, and perhaps he didn't want to. You know, he lives in Northern Ireland, and you know, Rory was playing a predominant amount of golf over here. So you know, and so Rory got into a little bit of bad ways there for a bit, and early in 2021, he was struggling, and so Pete Cowan, who's an English-based instructor, but has a lot of clients and is in the U.S. a lot, sort of was a natural for him to seek out. He's around a lot. He'd probably talk to him a good bit. So he, you know, he brought him on board. I don't think that meant he ever really left his original teacher, but given Roy's prominence and the, also the prominence of Colin, you know, it created a lot of news. And then, you know, Roy won fairly quickly after that switch. He won at Quail Hollow, but then he struggled again for most of the year until his win a couple weeks ago in Las Vegas. So it's interesting. You know, I don't think Roy feels he's quite where he wants to be yet. And now that Bannon can travel and he's been in Florida, was this past week with him, and then Rory's going over to Dubai for the season ender on the European tour. I think he felt like, okay, it's time for me to get back to, you know, who I know best.
Yeah. Oh, yay. Interesting that this should happen the same week that Sean Foley kind of opened up, you know, reflected on his years with Tiger Woods, as it was written. And he said that when he was with Tiger, I was too methodical. I think my original players that I met on tour, it was perfect for all of them. And I think that what happened was I underestimated, or I was too arrogant, really, the underestimated the state that Tiger Woods was in. Of course, he went from, you know, being, as they say, invincible to falling from grace and being the butt of jokes. And it was just an interesting read about what, or an interesting listen about what Sean Foley had to say about his time with Tiger, and that he didn't really do the right thing by Tiger.
Yeah, it was a very revealing and honest, you know, admission, I think, because he was under a lot of heat. You know, that was the one coach where Tiger didn't win any majors under him. But of course, he got Tiger at kind of one of the worst times. He was, you know, coming off the, you know, the scandal. His game had really sunk in 2010. He kind of band-aided his way through the Masters and U.S. Open that year, amazingly contended, and then fell off. And he had split with Hank Haney. Sean comes on board. Sean is very technical, a lot of science in what he does. And Tiger's always been kind of a feel guy, you know, and yet still Tiger won like 9 times between the end of 2011 and the end of 2013, you know, and he had a big year in 2013. He won 5 times. He won the Players. He won 2 World Golf Events, you know, but he just didn't win a major, you know, and then Tiger's back started to act up in 14, and they ended up kind of parting ways later that year. But I never got the sense that Tiger had any ill will towards Foley at all. You know, I think he really, really respected what they worked on and how he helped them. And so, it's really interesting now to hear, you know, Sean talk about that, looking back on their time together, which was for about 4 years.
Yeah, and I was surprised when he said I was too arrogant. I mean, I've always, whenever I see him in pictures, he always looks kind of aloof and detached and maybe a little arrogant, you know, and for him to say that, I was like, whoa, step back.
Well, you know, he has a style and a teaching method I think he's very confident in. And I think, you know, there's probably, you probably had a sense he had blinders on. And, you know, I think working with Ty can be a little intimidating. You know, I remember talking to Sean a lot during those days. And, you know, there's a part of you that says, I'm going to mess with this guy. You know, I mean, he's, you know, like, it's not like he's awful, you know. So, and, you know, that was a time when Tiger went through, there was a lot of conjecture about Tiger changing his swing so much over the years. You know, his swing under Haney wasn't the same as it was under Butch Harmon, and it wasn't the same with Foley. There was some thought, you know, was what they were working on hurting his back. You know, Tiger would never say that. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, Tiger's back might have gone bad no matter who he was working with. You know, given the amount of swings he's made in his life and, you know, some of the other physical things that he did to his body, it's quite possible that that could have happened anyway. So, it's interesting that Sean kind of went down that road because, he's had a lot of other players he's been successful with, you know, Justin Rose back in the day, Hunter Mahan, he's worked with Lydia Ko, so there's a pretty good group of players that he's had success with.
Yeah. We're a little talking about Tiger, Justin Thomas. We don't ever hear about how Tiger's doing, of course. We see pictures sometimes, but apparently Justin Thomas came out and said, he visits Tiger regularly. Apparently it's for dog fun because both of them have a dog. The dogs get to play. They get to talk. Thomas, now depending on who I read and how they read into this, Justin Thomas either seemed to say that his recovery was coming along well, or he's stuck in a place where he's not getting any better. He's just standing still, but keeping on trying to get his self back together again. What was your take?
Yeah, I've seen it portrayed both ways, and I think it's really hard to know. He made the comment it was like Groundhog Day.
Yes.
I just took that to mean that, he's basically in the same routine and there's only so much he can do right now, and he's just kind of working on the same things to get better. And I sort of took that it's a slow progression to get to where he needs to be.
Yeah.
And I think we could probably all understand that that's probably the case. He had significant injuries to his right leg and foot. It appears that the right leg part of it, the bones in his leg, have healed. He's able to stand upright without help. But there's a lot going on in your foot and ankle, and we don't really know to the extent that was damaged. They've not told us. And if you're talking about trying to make the leap from rehab and strengthening and all that, to trying to swing a club, he might not be there yet.
No.
And adding to all this is Tiger has given us no updates. No updates, really nothing since April when he posted a photo of himself.
Do you think
with crutches and his dog. His agent won't talk about it.
Yes.
There was some mumbling that he might be at the Ryder Cup. He wasn't. So here we are. That was a pretty insightful report there from Justin Thomas on the podcast he did with No Laying Up, and it was good. But I think there are different ways to interpret it. If you want to go negative, you can go negative. If you want to go positive, you can see the positive.
Yes, Tiger's coming back. It's like wait, whoa.
Right,
Tiger's not coming back. Let's go in the middle and see. Just let him recover and do what he's going to do. It's okay. The future is coming. Let's go to Dubai. All right. You mentioned that Rory McIlroy is going to Dubai. Now, shock of shocks, the European Tour is no more. No, I'm sure that I will say the European Tour just because it's ingrained in me, but it is now the DP World Tour. And as one person said, they've sold themselves, they've sold their title. Okay, I guess, with the DP World Tour comes a whole lot more money, and the European Tour needs a whole lot more money. The DP World Tour will feature 47 tournaments in 27 different countries, new tournaments in the UAE, Japan, South Africa, Belgium, expanding the Rolex Series to 5. This is huge for the guys that play on the, the DP World Tour. What do you think?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts, Bob?
I think this is the world we live in now. Title sponsorship, DP World sponsors their last event called the DP World Tour Championship. I think it's kind of interesting that World is in their name.
Yes.
Their company is called DP World. It actually kind of fits. because DP World Tour, I think a lot of people just think it's being called the World Tour. It's, well, no, actually, World is in the title sponsor's name. And but they really are a World Tour. I mean, as their commissioner, CEO Keith Pelley said, European Tour is a bit of a misnomer. They played less than half of their schedule in Europe. And, you know, it really just, you know, back in the day, it used to be kind of just a British tour. You know, most of it was played in the UK. You know, then they expanded on the continent. And, you know, they'll go a long time into 2022 before they actually set foot in Europe. So I guess I get it from that standpoint. You know, they're way behind the PGA Tour in terms of purses. And one of the big things to come out of that was that every tournament now will have a minimum purse of $2 million. Well, I mean, the PGA Tour has $7, $8, $9 million purses. Like, I don't think they have anything other than an opposite event under $6 million. So $2 million, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of every regular event on the PGA Tour pays at least $1.2 million to the winner. So the fact that they needed to do this, I think, kind of suggests that they didn't have much choice. You know, they felt like this was a way to bolster themselves. And I really think it's more about the playing opportunities for the mass membership than it is enriching the top guys.
Now, you're
because,
yes.
Yeah, they're not going to make a lot of money in purses except for in a handful of events. And there are some of those tournaments that pay appearance fees. So those guys get taken care of there. But it's more about the rank and file and being able to you know, give them an opportunity to stay afloat, make a living.
And the PGA Tour is going to start doing appearance fees?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll believe that when I see it. I think they will be. I think it's possible that down the road what we're going to see is there's been a lot of murmurings about a series of events in the fall for the top-level players that will pay them guarantees. You know, so I guess that's an appearance fee. You know, there's that ostensibly goes on anyway. Like, guys who are RBC ambassadors right now, they'll play the Canadian Open, although it hasn't been played the last 2 years, but they'll play the Hilton Head Tournament, RBC. You know, they all show up there. They show up for the RBC tournaments. They're not direct appearance fees, but I think it's understood that you play, and that's part of the endorsement deal.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky Fowler is going to play the Rocket Mortgage because he has a deal with them. Is that a direct compensation for playing? No, but it's sort of understood he's going to be there.
Yeah,
you know, so that kind of goes on to a little bit of an extent, but now they're trying to expand it beyond. In other words, this would be money coming from the tour itself. Which has never happened.
No, it never. And with 4 to 6 events outside of the United States as well, and one event could be a team event. Obviously, this is, you know, it seems to be in response to this Saudi-backed Greg Norman CEO, you know, 54 Golf Enterprise or LIV, if you just...
Right.
Right, so it's we're in the world of so much money in golf that it's perplexing, because either you're getting filthy rich in this game or you're eking out a living on the peripheral.
Right. I mean, I guess the way I've been looking at this thing where, you know, there might be a rival tour, you know, that Norman is behind, or the first one, the Premier Golf League. You know, there is one aspect of golf where if you forget about endorsements, forget about all the outside income that a player can make. I had one agent put it to me very, very well when I've been sort of poking around in all this stuff. And he said, take the biggest name in golf, Tiger. He said, Tiger obviously has a huge role in the television contracts that are negotiated. He helps them negotiate, you know, not personally, but his presence has brought so much in TV deals. When he signs up for a tournament, they sell way more tickets, hospitality, parking, concessions. All those tournaments make more money. All the charities benefit. All the other players benefit. But on Thursday morning, Tiger tees off with the 100th-ranked guy in the FedEx Cup points, and they're both at zero. And if Tiger misses a cut, he gets paid nothing. In fact, he has to pay to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and so the thought is that the name guys, the ones who really, really bring the value, are not being compensated for that value through the PGA Tour. Surely, yes, they're making a lot of money in endorsements. If you get to that level, you're obviously going to be compensated outside the game. But Tiger's made like $120 million in career earnings. He leads by far. That's like 4 years of Steph Curry playing basketball. That's Tiger's career. I realize basketball brings in more money than golf, but still, if you look at it that way, you know, a guy like Tiger has brought so much. Phil, Ricky Fowler is my best example of this right now. Ricky Fowler had an off year this year. He didn't make the top 125. He made about $750,000. He didn't make the FedEx playoffs. So he missed out on a lot of bonus money and missed out on a lot of potential purse money. Two tournaments where he would have been guaranteed of getting paid if he made it all the way through, got none of that. He made about $750,000, $800,000. My guess is his value to the PGA Tour is way beyond that. When you consider how popular he is, when he signs up for a tournament, he does clinics, you know, he does a lot of interviews. People will buy tickets, they want to see him. And so that's where this is all coming from, because the Norman thing, they would all be getting some sort of upfront guarantee. And the top guys, the team owners, per se, the top 12, there'd be 12 teams of four, I guess it would be. The top 12 guys would make a lot of money. They're talking about four-year deals with, you know, even if it's just $3-5 million a year. Think about it, you know, $20 million just to be part of it. And then there's no cut every week. There's, you know, $20 million purses. The only purse on tour is the players that's that high is the Players Championship. They'd have whatever, how many tournaments they're going to have paid $20 million a week. So, you know, it's I can see where it would be tempting to guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's guaranteed money. Every other sport except for tennis, and even in tennis, there are guarantees. You know, you get paid. You know, the NFL might be a little bit of a difference, but most of the big names get a big signing bonus. But every other sport, baseball, basketball, they sign guaranteed deals. And their performance isn't, you know, they are being paid based on their projected performance and also on their past performance.
It's not. At the same time, in golf, they're independent contractors. And so they can do as they please. They have their own rules. They can take off. They don't have to show up. You know, you talk about NFL guys, they're under the NFL rules, which can be pretty intense if, you know, you just can't say, hey, I'm not going to be there for the game tonight.
Right.
You got to show up. I got to go here with one more thing. Slugger White joining Greg Norman's enterprise is the guy in charge of rules. That I thought, well, Slugger wants to get a piece of all the money that he sees around him. But what I really want to close this segment of the show with is Bernhard Langer. I mean, Bernhard Langer, he's 64. It's the Charles Schwab Championship. Amazing human being. Five times has he won this you know, tour championship. And he could go for the sixth. He's got Furyk, Els, Miguel Angel Jimenez, all there. And Langer hurts his back, but he doesn't give up. He said, I felt like withdrawing after the third hole. Not the first day or the second, the third hole of the first day. So what a trooper. And I guess because if he could get some points, he still stands a chance of winning.
Right, yeah. Langer's amazing. I mean, you know, he's been out there for 15 years. You know, the shelf life in senior golf is more like five, you know, in terms of being competitive.
Right.
You know, once they get into their late 50s, it's, you know, in other words, it's hard for Langer to compete with Phil.
Sure.
Who's 51, you know, and just won a major. And hits it a mile still, you know, but yet he finds a way. you know, and it's pretty impressive. I mean, obviously his work ethic, his practice, his health, nutrition, you know, he keeps himself in shape. You know, he's now become the oldest player to ever win on the Champions Tour. You know, like for years and years, the oldest winner was 61 years old, and then I think it became 63 here in the last couple of years. I can't remember who it was that did that, but, you know, obviously I think we're going to see guys be more competitive later. But to be this competitive and to be, you know, to still be winning, you know, he just won a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
it's impressive. You know, when he shows up at the Masters every year, you know, people forget it. A year ago this week, we had the Masters in the fall, and he played the last round with Bryson and beat him. You know, Bryson's hitting it 100-plus yards past him, you know, but he beat him. You know, he shot a lower score. Now, Bryson was struggling, but, you know, I think Langer shot 71 and Bryson shot 73 in the final round. I mean, not only at age 63 did he make the cut, but he beat Bryson, who had just won the U.S. Open. So, you know, kind of, it's you know, you could, there's a million things you could say about how resilient he's been. It's pretty impressive.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN, ESPN.com. So, you know, you got to come back before the year's end because we still have to do the Evans Scholarship.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to talk about that anytime.
Thank you, Bob. Aloha.
Have a good one. Thank you.
We're going to come back. Yes, we're celebrating 50 years, 50 years of Walt Disney World golf. It's the 50th anniversary celebration. It's the Magic Kingdom, and Bruce Gerlander is going to be with us, the general manager and a PGA to boot. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Ko'olina Golf Club's holiday sale is coming soon. One day only, top brands like Ralph Lauren, TaylorMade, Nike, Adidas, Callaway, Tommy Bahama are up to 75% off. Pick up an early Christmas present for the golfer in your family or treat yourself. We're having multiple free prize drawings throughout the day. Here's a special for the Golf Club listeners only. Mention this ad during the sale for a chance to win a free round of golf for four players. Ko'olina's Holiday Sale, Saturday, November 20th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information and to register for the sale, visit ko'olinagolf.com/holiday sale.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
It is the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World Golf, Walt Disney World Resort and Magic Kingdom, which officially began on October 1st. Of course, it's a joint anniversary. It's being celebrated over 18 months. I like that. Partying for 18 months, marking 41 years of professional golf being played on the Disney property by the PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, the Champions Tour. Ryan Palmer was one of those. He said it was wonderful winning But there's so much more to his memories.
You know, Jen and I were 2 years married. She was traveling with me full time at the time. So, you know, they did such a great job with that tournament, giving us access to the parks. And I'll never forget that Saturday night we were at Magic Kingdom. And my dinner was a turkey leg. And for some reason I always talk about that. So, you know, we had a great night at the park. I mean, just we knew we had already had a tour card for the next season. So it was more of a, just a good time. And then, you know, 62 later, I was a winner.
Bruce Gerlander, general manager of PGA Walt Disney World Golf, operated by Arnold Palmer Golf Management. Welcome into the show.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. How long have you been there in the Magic Kingdom?
I've been 5 years here.
Wow. What a wonderful time. I've always loved just the feel of being on a Walt Disney property. It just feels like everybody is happy. You know, it really is the happy place to be. So what do you do?
I'm responsible for overseeing all the golf operations at our four courses. And just like you say, you got to pinch yourself sometimes. You're going to work and you're driving through the arches, welcoming you on property, and then you see the monorail as you go to work. So it's not a bad place to hang your hat and spend some time every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, just being there, being on those golf courses so well taken care of, operated by the Arnold Palmer Golf Management Team. Tell us about Arnold Palmer's involvement in these properties, in these golf courses.
Yeah, it's really a very interesting story. Mr. Palmer was called upon by some Disney executives when they were planning the property to be built out in the late 60s. And golf had always been a vision of Walt Disney himself before he passed away to include that in the property. But as they invited Mr. Palmer over for the day and they were going through some ideas and talking about potential to bring a golf PGA Tour tournament here, as they were talking, the monorail drove by overhead, and Mr. Palmer asked him what that was and immediately caught his attention. He asked if he could get a ride on it. And as the story goes, they welcomed him up. He was the first non-Disney World employee to ever ride the monorail before the parks opened. Got off the ride, shook hands, and made some phone calls to some friends and come on down and play in the inaugural tournament back in 1971.
A man full of curiosity, you know, a pilot. I was really lucky at Turtle Bay. He was honeymooning with his wife, his second wife, and he was walking across a lawn heading, we didn't know where, but we just said, hello, Mr. Palmer, and he stopped with two cups of coffee in his hands, and he started chatting with us, you know, just conversation about how he was doing and what we were doing and how much he was enjoying himself. And you know, and this went on for 5-7 minutes, and I had no idea that he might have a destination anymore. You know, he had two cups of coffee. He said, well, nice meeting you. Nice talking with you. I better get back to my bride.
That was Mr. Palmer. That's what he did every day.
Isn't that marvelous? Just such a wonderful person. So these golf courses, let's go to Davis Love. Staying in the Magic Kingdom and having four courses to play on.
My biggest memories of Disney golf, obviously winning there is great and playing there, but it's mostly about the family. You know, we played the parent-child tournament. The kids looked forward to it and taking them every time and riding the monorail and staying right there at the golf course is just so much fun. So great memories of Disney golf.
Yeah, Davis Love. So tell us about you know, the families coming to the courses and playing golf. I understand there's four courses and one's a nine-hole course.
Correct. Our Oak Trail course is a nine-hole walking course. A little bit shorter than the championship courses, but still a pretty good layout. A great place for beginners. Families come out late in the afternoon. And we even have some foot golf available out there late in the afternoon, too, to get people kind of use that as a gateway to the game of golf. And they come out and they kick a soccer ball into the hole, and then hopefully we transition them on to become future golfers from there.
Yeah. The Magnolia, is that the most challenging?
It's the longest by far. It's a little more open than the others, but it certainly plays the longest. If you set it up for the back right now, it's over 7,500 yards, and at our elevation and soil type, there's no roll, so it plays forever.
So as, under the Arnold Palmer Golf Management, do you have plans for the, I mean, all golf courses are natural, so they do different things, they grow, they change. Are you going to be doing anything with the courses in the future?
There will be something that I cannot speak to specifically today, but there's going to be a real big announcement in the first quarter of next year, and we're going to do some work that's going to coordinate with the celebration, and it'll be very exciting. But we've already done work. We're constantly doing work all the time. The Arnold Palmer Design Group came in back in 2013 and did some work on the Palm course, redid the greens, tees, bunkers. Every year we've got projects to keep getting better. So we strive for perfection. We'll never get there, but we try and get better.
Yeah, you know, nature is so perfect in its own way, and then we try to put ourselves into it, you know, and it's like, well, it's going to grow the way it grows, and we can coax it along. What are the greens? What kind of grass?
Right now, they are all Tiff Eagle on the championship courses, and we actually experimented with Paspalum on the nine-hole walking course, which is a very salt-tolerant grass, usually used on coastal courses, but because we use affluent water with a little higher salt content than normal irrigation water, and that's really done well and has opened our eyes to maybe sampling that a little bit as we go forward.
Wow, yeah. I often don't think of it. You're right close to the water, and have a lot of opportunities in addition to golf on the property for people to do just about, you know, anything recreational that they're interested in doing. There's just so many opportunities there. As a PGA, Bruce, I hope you don't mind my using your first name. Do you like to teach still? How do you stay active in the PGA of America?
My teaching days, I used to love teaching, but unfortunately, my job description doesn't allow the time that I'd like to have it. I'm much more of a desk jockey and probably playing 7 or 8 rounds of golf a year, which is a shame. I'm embarrassed to admit that. But, no, there's so much going on here all the time, and the plans and getting better all the time. It just doesn't leave a lot of time for that. But it's fun. It's a real blast working here.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun listening. Like, we're going to bring in Stephen Ames real quick, who really knows the courses. All, as you mentioned, you know, the 3 18 holes and the 1 9 hole.
Those three golf courses, what we call resort golf course, where everybody, any caliber of player can enjoy it the most. Magnolia obviously being the most challenging one because of the length. But I think overall, it's all three golf courses are fun for every handicap player to play. My son was able to follow me and be with me when I won. They gave us a plaque with the victory, and he actually was there holding the Mickey Mouse there with me.
That's cool.
Little glasses, little hat.
That's cool.
And it's in his condo right now.
Is it?
Isn't that cute? I mean, I can only imagine if somebody wins at Walt Disney World Golf, that you would have a celebration for them.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's not too many times in your life you get to win a golf tournament, have Mickey hand you the trophy, and Goofy and Pluto and all the characters around them. So, yeah, you don't see anybody that ever had a bad time playing here, whether it was on the pro tour or just on a vacation. It's just, as you said earlier, everyone here, it seems like the minute they drive in the property, their whole state of mind changes. They relax, and they expect to have fun, and they do.
Yeah, okay. Well, Bruce Gerlander, thank you so much for being on the show. Is there something I've left out that you particularly wanted to speak to?
Just one quick comment. You mentioned the connection between Arnold Palmer and Walt Disney, and started with the tournament. But to this day, again, I think it's amazing. I come to work every day and represent two of the most iconic brands in the world. And it's a great mix where Disney's always known for fun and entertainment. And as you alluded to earlier, Mr. Palmer's hospitality is second to none. And we use him as a model. We want to make everyone feel welcome, comfortable, and important. And that's what we strive to do each and every day.
Yeah.
So it's a great blend between the two. And for those that haven't been here, love to see you come down and say hello to us.
Absolutely. Walt Disney and Arnold Palmer, they're both in the representation of excellence. And that's, you know, when you put those two together, how could you not have a fabulous time? Again, Bruce Gerlander, I'm so sorry. Bruce Gerlander, General Manager, Walt Disney World Golf and operated by Arnold Palmer Golf Management. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Daniel. Okay. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. A pleasure meeting you. Aloha. Coming back with Steve Greiner, PGA. We're going to be talking about all the work Steve has done for our veterans. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Co-Olina Golf Club's annual holiday sale is coming soon. One day only, this sale features some of the best golf products on the island. Apparel, shoes, and clubs up to 75% off. Multiple free prize drawings occur throughout the day. Here's a special offer for the Golf Club listeners only. Mention this ad during the sale for a chance to win a free round of golf for four players. Co-Olina's holiday sale, Saturday, November 20th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information and to register for the sale, visit coolinagolf.com/holiday sale.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com. Or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Steve Greiner, PGA 2016 National Patriot Award recipient, creator of PGA Best Practices Golf Program that's used by all Wounded Warrior programs. He is the founder of Links to Freedom. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. It's been way too long since we've talked. I am absolutely so impressed with all the things that are going on. I mean, and Nancy Lopez is with you. Tell us about your experience with Nancy.
Well, first, I want to say happy belated Veterans Day to a special Army mom.
Thank you.
And thanks for all you do. And yes, Nancy Lopez and Donna Capone, who we met through supporters of Links to Freedom, have gotten involved. And Nancy came to Washington about, I'd say 3 weeks ago, and we did an event at the Women's Military Memorial, which I recommend going to. It's in, for lack of a better term, I'll call it the arch at the entrance to the Arlington National Cemetery. It's very beautiful. It's very powerful, and we celebrated women and golf and the military, and we celebrated four women that have been instrumental in our program for the wounded, ill, and injured in the Army. And of course, Nancy, her dad and her uncle were military, and she spoke to what it was like being raised and influenced by military, you know, father and uncle.
Yeah, Arlington, my son went there. I think it's the 100th year since it's beginning, the Veterans Day celebrations at Arlington. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so. And recently, just yesterday or the day before, there were a lot of people laying wreaths at the Tomb of the Unknown. So I believe that to be correct. And in fact, I would encourage any of your listeners to read. There's a book on Hallowed Ground, the history of Arlington Cemetery. There's way more history than many people may think. There's so many stories and subplots through the history of the cemetery. It was a great place to celebrate women and the military and golf. So it was a terrific evening. And Nancy Lopez is a terrific spokesman for our cause as well.
That's wonderful. So you have an event at Mission Hills on the other side of the other coast, November 19th, assisting Wells Fargo Championship in D.C. with a military presence, or is that, I'm not sure which, yeah, I might be confusing things.
Well, Mission Hills is connected to Veterans Day, Mission Hills being Donna Shore's old club, and that's where Donna Capone plays golf. And Donna Capone's sister, Janet LaPera, was teaching for Links to Freedom, so that's how we met. That's how we met Donna, and so she was instrumental in getting a fundraiser, kind of around Veterans Day time frame at Mission Hills, which is a beautiful club. So we're going to go out there on November 19th next week, in fact, and we're Friday, Saturday. We're going to have a 2-day event to raise money for Links to Freedom. At Mission Hills. Now, the Wells Fargo, that's separate. Next year, it's being brought to D.C. Because Quail Hollow is also holding the President's Cup. So I think two major events in 1 year made them make the decision to move the Wells Fargo for 1 year. So they're going to have that in D.C., and we're talking with the people in the Wells Fargo about how we can add a military presence or a military presentation to the event next year, the Wells Fargo.
Oh,
it'll be at the TPC at Potomac Farms, which was the old Avenel Club in D.C.
It's wonderful. Now, we're talking about raising money. We're talking about Links to Freedom. We're talking about the Wounded Warrior program that you developed to assist men and women who are injured, sometimes blown up, you don't even notice that they've got injuries, but because of the severity of, let's say, something detonating near them, the brain is impacted by the waves of the shock waves, and one still has to deal with that over, and I can't even imagine, I understand, Steve, you know, you can to a degree because of what you have going on inside yourself. But there's also, you know, men who and women who've lost an arm, lost a part of their body. And somehow through your program, you make them feel whole again. And golf helps do that. How did you come to that realization?
Well, it was really trial and error. You know, as you know, I was the PGA head professional at Fort Belvoir for almost 20 years. And I was there when 9/11 occurred. And then, of course, many of my customers or patrons were getting deployed. And then they're coming back wounded, ill, or injured, is how we refer to it in the Army. And, of course, Walter Reed is close by as well. And Fort Belvoir is sort of part of the new Walter Reed, and Fort Belvoir specializes in rehabbing brain injury, and Walter Reed does a lot of the amputees and physical injury. So we started the program to give back to them, and then pretty quickly you realize that the coaching, the teaching, the mentoring skills that PGA professionals have are very useful in supporting all that a wounded person is going through. So it kind of evolved from there. And then about 5 years ago, I decided when I was the head pro at Fort Belvoir, There was an interest by the commanding general at the time who thought the program was phenomenal and that we really kind of thought outside the box and took golf to a level that maybe a lot of folks hadn't done before. He thought we should have it at the other Army installations that deal with rehabilitation. So now we're in 9 programs in 7 states, and Links to Freedom was really created to help us raise the resources to achieve that mission of getting a program in all the Army installations. The Army cannot fund the whole thing. They're funding what they can, about 40%. Links to Freedom raises the other 60%. And, of course, our pros continue to strive to be the best we can be to use golf successfully to help their recovery.
When I was there at Fort Belvoir and I got to be at one of your classes, you have 3 different places where you were working on the driving range, you were working on the greens, and you were working, I think it was in like a chipping zone. If my memory serves me correctly, it could have been just driving range and greens. I just saw so many people. Does Fort Belvoir have your largest group of people?
Yeah, it's still the original and largest program. We're sort of unofficially headquartered at Fort Belvoir. I say unofficially because we're at other installations as well. But that's where it all started. We do have generally 3 stations. We do include the families because they're affected by what the wounded service member is going through. So we include the families. And that's another one of golf's benefits. They can do it together as a family. They can also do it with the people they served with that went through the things that they went through. And we have the 3 stations, and we usually do multiple weeks. Then we take them out on the golf course a couple of weeks, and then we start all over again. We do about 16 weeks, and we like to bring inspiring guest speakers in. I think you were one the day that you came, that you spoke to the troops. And so we try to have people that can speak to resiliency, and also keep them focused that they can get back to living the life that they intended to live had they not gotten wounded or injured while serving.
Yeah, you know, I was reading this really struck me, one of the comments from one of the family members of a wounded son. He said, "For the first time since being injured, my son is not afraid of me or me of him." That is
yes.
So powerful, and that came out of what another man said. I believe it was a man. "I believe the golf program got me out of the barracks, around people, and socializing a bit." So that's it. It's not, you know, we think of golf as a sport, but it's more than a sport, because as a foursome or a twosome or threesome or how many you're playing with, you're always talking with one another. You're going through the same, you have things to do that are not necessarily keeping you together. So you don't feel obligated to speak, but you are there to speak, or people can speak to you while you're doing something else. So there's not this one-on-one contact, necessarily eye-to-eye. It's more kind of removed. It's kind of like I've always said, when I'm driving in my car and my son was with me, the best time to talk about something that might embarrass him or we would be able to go through things that's going on for him was when we were in the car, because both eyes forward, there's no, you know, sense of confrontation. It's just a conversation. And I think that really helps someone who's been wounded.
Absolutely. There's so many. You mentioned it in your opening, the invisible injuries. So when I started out, I was very dialed in on, well, how do you teach someone maybe that's missing a leg or an arm, and I was a little intimidated by, you know, the teaching aspect of it. And I quickly realized that it's about creating a support group. You know, you hear about the 22 or 21 people committing suicide. And then we do a lot of surveys to get feedback on how to improve the program. And you're hearing about domestic abuse and, you know, where mom or dad is really struggling with post-traumatic stress. And so you are correct. And there's so many injuries beyond the visible ones that are going on. And so I think the mentoring and the coaching of PGA professionals, along with the other soldiers that are in the program, they, as they graduate, they don't really graduate. I try to keep them in the program long term because their injuries need to be managed long term. But as they advance within the program, they also take on a role of checking up on how the others are doing. So it really becomes a big, important support group. And the golf is really just a tool that creates it all. And right now, I'm very focused on those types of things, creating that social atmosphere that makes them feel very safe and makes them feel that they can get back to normal.
Yeah, well, I'm just, you know, in 3 years since we've talked, it was the last time was 2018, 9 programs now in 7 states. That's
yes.
Phenomenal. Your growth.
So there's about 13 Army. Now, we are in the Naval. We have a program at the Marine Corps out by the Naval Hospital in San Diego. There's about 13 Army installations. Every installation does not deal with rehabilitation. Certain ones do. And when a soldier gets wounded or injured, they will send them to one of those installations to get better and hopefully go back to their normal duty. In many cases, they'll transition out, and then, of course, they can stay in the program. But Links to Freedom was really created to overcome some of the government obstacles for raising money so that we could have a program at every one of those installations that has rehabilitation, because they already have golf courses. So we're just adding a specialized program to their MWR golf program that complements the therapy they're going through on the installation.
It's wonderful. Links to Freedom has developed the HERO model. So can you break that down for us?
Yeah, that's just the steps. That's kind of the curriculum that we go through, the HERO model. And but for the most part, every soldier is going to have a different situation, much like when you teach normal golfers. So the model's kind of like a guide. We do have the doctor we do keep the doctor and the therapists with each installation involved in the program. And then we're really creating a model for that person. Because just like when you're teaching a person who does not have the injuries that a wounded warrior may have, you're still going to find out, do they have bad knees or a bad back, or maybe they lack flexibility. But now you're just taking that model much further because the injuries can be far more significant. But to a large degree, the HERO model is really about trying to find the model for each troop that works best for them.
Links to Freedom Cup on October 4th at Springfield Golf and Country Club. The 2021 Byron Nelson Pro-Am benefiting Links to Freedom. Money raised supporting the Links to Freedom program at Fort Benning, Georgia. A more wounded and disabled service members and veterans receiving adaptive golf therapy as a result, of course. Mission Hills Country Club is coming up. You are just getting so many things going. I am absolutely thrilled to reconnect with you. And Steve Greiner, you really should have been in touch with me. So if somebody wants to get involved in Links to Freedom, how do they do that?
They can go online to linkstofreedom.org. Make sure it's .org, O-R-G. My email is Greiner, G-R-E-I-N-E-R, at linkstofreedom.org. Links to Freedom is all one word, L-I-N-K-S, links to T-O, freedom, .org. And they can read about our program, or if they want to get involved in supporting, whether it's monetarily, which, you know, we still have more to go monetarily to complete our mission, to have a program at every Army installation, or if they would like to volunteer, a lot of folks volunteer, which is also a great way to contribute. We're on Facebook, same thing, Links to Freedom, and LinkedIn, I believe, Links to Freedom. But those are the ways to reach us.
Awesome. Steve Greiner, PGA 2016 National Patriot Award recipient from the PGA of America. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Danielle, and all you do supporting us and supporting the great game of golf.
And a belated happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you.
Yes. To all our veterans who may be listening.
Aloha. Coming back with Ron Syrak. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Idilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Idilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Idilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
KPUA, Hilo, KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few hundred dollars. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him. Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. That's Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. Our listeners are consumers, too.
The Golf Club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee. Now, back to The Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
And we really don't want you to do that because it'll hurt you. And we want you to be able to play and run around and have a good old time for as long as possible. Okay, we have something for you to win again today. PitchFix Fusion 2.5, named the best divot repair tool by Golf Digest. Three consecutive years running. PitchFix, the global golf market leader, it's like a switchblade divot tool. And the Fusion 2.5 was developed and it just performs really nicely. But in addition to the pitch fix that we're going to give you, if you are the ninth caller, and the number is 808-545-1111, 808-545-1111. In addition to that, we're going to give you that wonderful cleaner for your golf clubs. and you hold it right in your hand. It fits in your palm, and it has these nice little bristles. You put a little water inside it, and then it's easy scrubbing. It's a really cool little tool. So both of those are for you if you are the ninth caller. And remember now, you know, I've been experiencing the you've got to do the 808. Depending on who I call, sometimes I don't have to use 808, and sometimes so it looks like they're switching over slowly. But eventually, we'll all have to dial 808-545-1111. That's the number to call to win. Okay, we've got Ron Syrak coming up, and I want to introduce him right now because it's time for Ron Syrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient. The LPGA Media Excellence Award is his as well. Author of Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson. He had to do the Vision 54 program before beginning the project. I thought that was so cool. Play your best golf now, the game before the game, and every shot must have a purpose. And published in 8 languages, covered over 180 majors. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Are we watching some incredible golf at the Pelican? It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's quite a leaderboard they have there, and it's sort of a fitting sprint to the finish line here. This week's tournament, then next week's CME Group Tour Championship. But, you know, you look at the leaderboard now, Lexi Thompson, who had won at least one tournament 7 years in a row until the abbreviated season last year, trying to win for the first time this year. Jennifer Kupcho trying to win for the first time on the LPGA. And Nelly Korda, who is trying to catch Jin Young Ko in the Player of the Year race. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, so we have Lexi Thompson at the top, Jennifer Kupcho just 2 shots behind as it stands right now as I read the leaderboard. Patty Tavatanakit, Nelly Korda, Se-Yoon Kim, Leona McGuire, Lydia Ko, Maria Fassi, Christina Kim, Jessica Korda. I was thrilled. Christina is playing much better lately. Have you been able to see?
Yeah, you know, I spent a little bit of time with her at the U.S. Women's Open this year at the Olympic Club talking to her, and she's really remade herself in many different ways. She's gotten into great shape, and both mentally and physically. And she wants to make one more run at being a factor on the LPGA. She struggled. She went to Europe, played the Ladies European Tour for a while to try to get her game back. And you know, we're going to see her break through and pick up a win. You know, if not this year, then next year.
How is she doing that? What is she doing for her game that makes a difference?
Well, I think the biggest thing that she did was to get into better physical condition. I think it's helped her swing, and it's helped her stamina on the golf course. And the other thing is she went through a lot of intimidation on social media. There were a lot of people body shaming her, saying other things to her, and she's learned to deal with that in a much, much stronger way than she has before. You know, she'll go back at people occasionally on social media, and if somebody tries to give her a hard time, she'll go right back at them. But I think she's just in general a much more confident woman right now.
Well, that's good to hear, because I mean, she's always exuded confidence when she presents herself, right?
She's an absolute hoot. You know,
yes.
I've known her now for more than 15 years. I think 2005 might have been her first year out there. I remember meeting her back then, and she was always somebody as a writer that you wanted to hang out around because she was going to say something that was worth putting in your story. And you like those people who have that combination of being a good player and being a good quote.
Yes.
And she was both of those.
Yes, yes. And fun-loving and just a joy. So a little bit different right now, and we were talking about getting a game back. You know, that's what made me think about this. Christina Kim working on her game, but in her case, it was more physical conditioning is so important. If you have to go on the road, if you have to travel, then you're going to different places. You've got to be really strict. You have to find a gym. You have to continue to work on your physical conditioning to get back on the golf course. Really, it's really a lot of work. Although it sounds like a whole lot of fun. Fun is there when you win. But I was looking at what Ryan O'Toole experienced with one of her two English bulldogs clamping down on her right hand because she was trying to get a toy that the two dogs were playing over. And I guess it was Moose, the puppy, who was trying to take it away from her, you know, and unfortunately his mouth and her hand came together. And now she's had to practice left-handed. And she said that she's been really intrigued by how much it's helped her game to have to play 3 to 4 hours a day using her left hand. Not her right hand, because she can't use that right now. It's still being, it's still healing, being in stitches. She said it helped with a swing change she's been trying to implement. And in her putting, she said she's never felt as much prior to this using her right hand as she has with her left hand. Is that the left-right brain going on here?
You know, I've heard this as a practice technique. Pee and Lynn used this in the Vision 54 school, where they will have you hit golf balls left-handed, have you hit golf balls one-handed, have you hit golf balls on one foot, have you hit golf balls with your eyes closed. You know, I think all of those are things that accentuate the feel part of the game. And make you feel where the club head is, make you feel your swing more, and make it be less technical and more natural, more of a flowing thing. So I'm not surprised that it's helped her game. And you know, the injury came along at a bad time for her because she was sort of having a breakthrough season this year, you know, and for somebody who's been around for about 10 years on tour. But she got a win this year, and she looked like she was ready to kick her game to another step. I know one of the best ball strikers that I ever saw, Johnny Miller, used to hit golf balls left-handed, you know, and as a way to just make himself more in touch with his swing.
You know, and I think it also takes your expectations out. So, you know, you don't expect a lot of yourself when you're using the hand that doesn't normally work. So if it starts working well with that left hand, it's joyous. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe I can. I can see why Lynn and Pia would want to do that, you know, to make
well,
you stop
there's
thinking.
A trust, there's a trust thing in there, too, I think, you know. You learn to trust your swing a little bit more. I know when I was going through the Vision 54 school, hitting golf balls with my eyes closed was like one of the hardest drills I've ever did, you know, because I wasn't sure if I was going to make any contact at all. But it's all about making you feel confident about your swing, making you feel confident in the whole process of swinging the golf club. So it doesn't really surprise me that O'Toole is finding some benefit from this unfortunate situation.
So yeah, I'm glad, because it just seemed to be working out. And she was so sweet about, you know, Moose. He's still a puppy. He felt terrible when he did it. He felt terrible. I'm sure he did. And they certainly know how to express themselves. They're sweethearts, she said. So when you were at the school, the Vision 54 school, before starting to write, what were some of the processes that you went through to, you know, in the school? What does one expect?
Well, one of the best things about the Vision 54 school is they're big believers that the best place to learn the game is on the golf course, not on the practice range. So while we would always start out on the range and doing some of their exercises that are there, we always ended up on the golf course playing at least 9 holes every day. And one of my favorite drills, which is just as basic as you can get for Vision 54, they would have you go out playing with another player, and before every shot, you had to turn to the player you were playing with and tell them your intention for the shot.
Oh.
You have to tell them what club you're hitting, what your target is, what your shot shape is. And you can't use words like "I think" or "I'm going to try." You have to say, "I'm going to hit this ball at that tree behind the left corner of the green, and I'm going to hit a little cut in there." And it's to make you not only make informed decisions about what you're going to do with your golf shot, but also to be committed to those decisions. And by articulating, by verbalizing those decisions, it enhances your commitment to it. And, you know, that's the whole title of that first book, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. You know, what is the purpose of the golf shot that I'm going to hit? One of the things P and Lynn say all the time that I love, they say, you got to pay attention to your intention. You know, what are you trying to do with the shot? Make that decision and then be 100% committed to the decision.
I love it. Absolutely. I think we should all at least read If We Can't Fly There. I think they're teaching. Sometimes they can travel. It's been difficult. Is their home base in Arizona?
Yeah, they're in Phoenix. They're a Talking Stick in Phoenix. And when the weather gets hot there, they have a home in Sweden also. And that becomes their summertime home. As you said, it was a challenge. Pia is Swedish. She could get back into Sweden. Last year, Lynn, who's American, could not get back in into Sweden. So they had a little bit of trouble. They were able to get in, both of them, this year. But they teach a lot out of Europe in the summer. And they also do sort of traveling clinics to clubs in the United States that are in parts of the country where it's not 120 degrees, which isn't Phoenix in the summer.
Yes.
But their school is right now running at in peak season in Arizona right now, and will be probably and through the end of April.
Great. Okay. That's Vision 54 we're talking about. And if you can't go, you need one of their books. And I'll have that for you as we close with Ron Cyrak. We're talking with him, an award-winning writer. He's been around for so long, he probably doesn't want me to say that. Right? Right. Okay. Because we're all forever young. That's all there is to it.
I am feeling old.
Oh, you're forever young. Don't forget that. You know, it's all a state of mind. Another person that I'm thrilled to see is Lexi Thompson. She, 65, 64. What got into her?
Yeah, you know, I've said these words before, and then she proved me wrong, but I'm seeing improvement in her putting. And it started around Solheim Cup when she started to putt better. It's always been the flaw in her game. Actually, her whole game from about 100 yards in has been a problem for her. There was certainly the case at the U.S. Women's Open when she shot 41 on the back nine playing with the lead and missed the greens on 16, 17, and 18 with a wedge in her hand and then couldn't make up and down. But she has struggled with the putter throughout her career. She's a very, very good striker of the golf ball, hits the ball a long way. But I've seen improvement of her putting over the last, I'd say, half dozen tournaments. Like I said, I felt like I've been here before with her. So she's got to prove to me it's not a temporary thing. And she actually has made some improvement with that short stick.
Yeah. It's interesting that people who have really strong long games seem to have a difficult time on the greens or their short game getting to the green. Maybe, you know, I'm thinking Bryson DeChambeau. He's got a great long game. He's taught himself. I think his putting technique is odd, but it works for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, so he's taught himself how to putt. The driver is not a problem. It seems to be getting on the green if he's kind of close, within 70 yards or so. He doesn't chip very well. So it seems like people who are really good with length don't necessarily have the same kind of skill and feel when it comes to that short game.
That's what made Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods so special, because they combined the two. They were power players, but they are the two best short putters I've ever seen. You know, I mean, those guys never missed a 7-foot putt that they needed in their life, you know, And part of the reason Tiger Woods could play so aggressively the way he did in the tack tins was he had the confidence that he was going to make up and down from anywhere and save par from no matter where he was. John Daly is another one who's incredibly powerful hitter, but had really, really special feel in his hands. I think in the case of Lexi, that she just hasn't worked on it enough.
Yeah.
You know, I think that a lot of times you work on, you know, and this is, again, something else I've talked about with P and Lim. When I was a kid, you learn the game from the green back to the tee. You learn the short game first, the long game last. And now kids are learning the game the other way around. Everybody wants to stand on the practice tee, perfect their swing, have a perfect swing, and hit it 320 yards. And they're learning that part of the game, and they're not learning the scoring part of the game, which is those shots from 100 yards in. And part of what made Tiger special is he's just old enough that he learned the game the old school way. His dad, Earl, taught him the game around the green first and then took him back to the tee. So I think for Lexi, it's not too late. I mean, I remember 1999, Annika Sorenstam had the yips so bad that she skipped one major tournament, took about a month off, and then at the end of that season, she spent 6 weeks working with Dave Stockton, and she did not hit another golf shot except a putt for 6 weeks. All she did for 6 weeks was putt. And then Annika she was never a great putter, but she became an incredibly reliable putter, especially under pressure when it mattered. So while I think great putters are born, not made, I think hard work can make an average putter a good putter. And I think Lexi could do that.
Excellent. Excellent. So we've got the final, the CME Group Tour Championship that's coming up next week. And what does this field, as you watch it shaping up, and Lexi Thompson remains at the top, Patty Tavitanikit, Jennifer Kupcho, Nelly Korda, Siyoung Kim, Leona McGuire, Lydia Ko, Maria Fassi, Christina Kim, Jessica Korda, that's just the first page. What comes next week from all of what you're seeing here?
Well, there's a lot at stake there. First off, you know, Player of the Year, Jin Young Ko, has a 15-point lead over Nelly Korda. Right now, you got to finish in the top 10 to get any points. Right now, Jin Young is out of the top 10. Nelly Korda is tied for second. A second-place finish would get her 12 points. So that would get her within 3 points of Jin Young going into the final event of the year. Strangely, Patty Kvitanekat has an outside shot of being Player of the Year. But she would have to win both this week and next week, and Ko and Korda would have to pretty much both finish out of the top 10. But Kvitanekat has a chance in there, but it's really down to between Jin Young and Nelly. And then it looks like Lydia Ko has a pretty good lock on winning the Vare Trophy for the lowest scoring average. And she has that because she's number four in the Vare Trophy right now, but numbers 1, 2, and 3, Jin Young Ko, Nelly Korda, and NB Park, haven't played enough rounds this year to qualify to win the Vare Trophy. So it looks like Lydia's going to get that, especially since she's got a strong performance going this week. She shot 67, 66 the first two rounds. So a lot at stake next week, plus $1.5 million first prize, the biggest first prize in women's golf.
So both Nelly and Jessica are not very impressed with the Vare Trophy requirements, that 70% of the tournament event schedule. They don't understand why.
I think this was just a weird year. 70 rounds is a reasonable number of rounds. That's 17 and a half tournaments if you made the cut in every tournament. So that's a reasonable number, but I think what we're seeing is sort of the impact of another pandemic-affected season. A lot of the Asia Tour was lost. The Asia Swing was lost both at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. That took some tournaments out of play. They were probably tournaments that were originally on, certainly Jin Young Ko and NB Park schedule, probably on the Korda sisters' schedule also, and So that reduced it. You know, they only had in the fall swing, they had an event in Korea So I think only 10 or 11 Americans went over there, because that's a long way to go just to play one tournament. Normally there would be Korea, Japan, China, Malaysia. There'd be several tournaments over there. So I think that it was a pandemic cancellations created this unusual situation. I remember it happened in 2004. Annika Sorenstam had the lowest scoring average, but she didn't get enough rounds in that year to qualify for it, and Grace Park ended up with the Bear Trophy.
Annika Sorenstam, do you know what her plans are for the coming year, the coming season?
Well, I'm going to be the thing that I'm going to be most curious about, and I fully expected to see her try to defend her title in the U.S. Senior Women's Open. But what's going to be fascinating to see is because she won the U.S. Senior Women's Open this year, it gives her an exemption into the U.S. Women's Open next year, which is at Pine Needles, which is where she won in 1996. U.S. Women's Open. It'll be interesting to see if Annika wants to play in that tournament. And I think we'll know early in the year if she's going to do that, because if she's going to play in the U.S. Women's Open, she's going to play other events to get ready. And, you know, so we could very well see Annika play a half dozen tournaments next year. I don't know what she's thinking about in terms of that, though.
Right. Okay. So we have about 2 minutes, and you've been covering men's golf for a long, long time, the PGA Tour, the what was European Tour, now the DP World Tour, and what could be the LIV or the LIV or 54 under Greg Norman, backed by the Saudis. You know, when you watch all of this going on, Ron, with your expertise, we've got about, maybe 2 minutes. What are your thoughts?
Well, two things. One is I'm encouraged by the fact that the PGA Tour and the European Men's Tour are taking steps to work together more closely. You know, they're going to create some events that count on both tours. I think they're going to work together on coordinating their schedules so big events don't go up against each other, so the top players can play both. I think part of the reason that they're finally working together and is because of the threat of the Greg Norman venture with the Saudi money there, because they don't want to lose players to that. Now, the PGA Tour has some huge chips they can play against players going to play the Norman venture, and one of them is the deferred income plan that PGA Tour players get. They have the best pension plan on the planet. They're making millions and millions of dollars. And then there's also the player impact performance bonus thingies that they created, you know, which again is more money that's being funneled to the players to keep their attention on the PGA Tour and on the European Men's Tour.
Yeah. And it's just an interesting time. You know, I was just struck when Slugger White said he's going to go to the Greg Norman team. You know, it's like, okay, this is getting very interesting, very real. Thank you so much for being on the show.
They tried this once before and it didn't work.
That's right.
In the mid-90s.
Yes.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, they'll get a TV deal, no question about it, you know, because one of the hottest properties in all of entertainment is live sports, because you can't DVR past the commercials on it, you know. So live sports are really worth a lot of money. So anybody who can provide that sort of content to a TV network is going to find a buyer.
We never have enough time. Ron Syrak, thank you so much for being on the show. I need to thank our sponsors.
Always a pleasure, Danielle. Talk to you down the road, my friend.
Co-Olina Golf Club, their holiday sale is one day only. It is Saturday. It is November 20th, next week, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Discounts up to 75% off. You need to register your shop time. Walk-ins are welcome, but you got to wait until there's social distancing room inside the shop. So during the sale, ask where you can enter your name for a chance to win a free round of golf for four at Co-Olina Golf Club. This is the Golf Club Listener's Special. at Ko'olina. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters, you need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day. Just call them, 528-3434. Aloha Power Equipment Sand Island Store, move to Alakava. It's their mega store, Aloha Power Equipment. And Rainer Doors, HawaiiDoor.com. Beautify your home, protect your home from the elements, keep your loved ones safe. Get a new Rainer garage door. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. And you can hear the show anytime you'd like at RadioGolfClub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.